You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Richard Mayberry with me once again. Richard Mayberry's U.S. and World Early Warning Report, and you should jot this down. It's the website is simply earlywarningreport.com, earlywarningreport.com. I've been a subscriber to Richard's letter for many, many years, and it's excellent. Not only does it keep you up to date with what's going on geopolitically, but it's also very helpful in terms of investment ideas that are really in tune with what is happening geopolitically. And Richard, like myself, we have a lot of years to look at in the rearview mirror, but Richard, unlike me, I think sees much further into the past and therefore is able to project things better into the future than I am. I think he's known as a 2,000 or 3 or 4,000-year-old man because he goes back and has studied. He's such a student of history. He's written a bunch of books also from a perspective of a free market perspective that are really worth reading and buying through from his website. So, Richard, thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, thank you, Jay. It's always an honor to be here. And thank you for the work you do. Your radio show here gives a viewpoint that the mainstream press just never goes near. And I'm sitting here reading your newsletter right now, too. And, for instance, this chart you've got on the manipulation of the gold market, it's very interesting, and I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I don't want to waste time talking about that, but it's there are shenanigans that go on in the markets. But one of the things I really appreciate about your work, Richard, is that you look at the human nature, human beings, and how they behave. You know, we have these technological breakthroughs, and it seemed to be growing exponentially almost, technology, the IT technology, but there's technology in almost every area of our lives in biotech. You know, we heard that someone just started cloning human beings in China this morning, I think it was on the news. Technology changes, but human nature doesn't so much. And you point out, you started out your December issue by making a statement that I think our founding fathers would very much be in agreement with, but people today hardly think in these terms. You said, and I quote, "Politics is a systematic organization of hatreds," end of quote. Well, could you elaborate on that, perhaps, and give us? And you noted in the also some comments that Vice President Pence made that sort of, I think, relate to what you're talking about. Not to pick on him in particular, but just politics in general. Could you maybe just elaborate on what Vice President Pence had to say regarding trade? I think in China, maybe just your comments on this whole nature of politics and what it is.
Yeah. I'm not the first to observe that political power corrupts the morals and the judgment. And the reason for that is that political power is the legalized privilege of using brute force on people who haven't harmed anyone. And, you know, only governments have that legal privilege. And the people who have it, it's an evil thing. I mean, to use force on people who have not harmed anyone is an evil thing, and so the people who have that power are corrupted by it. And we look back all through history, and you see it over and over and over again that people are corrupted by this power. And then the more power a government has, the more the people are going to be corrupted. And so you know, these governments have not only relationships with their populations, they have relationships with each other, too, and they tend to behave like street gangs. They have their turf, and they collect what the governments call as taxes, but it's really protection money. From their populations, And, you know, God help you if you do not buy whatever services they're selling. Because in the long run, you know, they'll send you some nasty letters and all threatening you. But if you don't buy what the government's selling there during tax season, let's say, every April, then people with guns will come to your home and haul you away to prison. Mm-hmm. And the founders were very, very aware of the corrupting effect of this privilege. And so that's why the Constitution is written the way it is. If you tried to set up a private organization and run it according to the American Constitution, you would fail. There's no way you could get very much done, because the Constitution is designed to keep government from doing very much. They were afraid of it. They were afraid of anybody who got control of political power, and so they wrote that Constitution so that it would be, in fact, Jefferson referred to the Constitution as the chains of the Constitution binding down the government. They did not want anybody to get their hands on that power and be able to use it for whatever he wanted. And that's why the Constitution has such a convoluted way of making decisions and all the checks and balances and all that. So that's it. That's the basic problem. Political power corrupts.
Well, and you know, that's an alien concept these days, because our universities and high schools and grade schools have taught kids to revere and to respect, almost like like we have Mao Zedong. Although now, of course, most of the left thinks it's the opposite. It's Satan in the White House and not their their God Obama. But and they can't get enough government. We have to keep fixing everything. It was Ron Paul that pointed out, though, however, that it's that on this show one time he mentioned that really that's how they encourage people to hate each other, because whenever government passes one law, they hurt one group and help another. But that's basically what you were just saying, I think, in a way, part of what you're saying. But anyway, I want to get to the topic of your December letter, which is excellent. And I think people should really consider subscribing. It's a very modestly priced newsletter that most people can afford very easily. And you talked about cyber warfare, trade. You sort of linked in trade war. We have this specter of trade war that President Trump is seeming to wage, and you're very concerned about that. But then you sort of connected the dots between trade war and what might be going on in our own computers. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, it's pretty well known now that governments are waging a war on the Internet. The Internet has been made into a battleground by governments, and they each try to hurt each other or hurt their populations by distributing viruses and ransomware, all sorts of stuff on the Internet. It's getting worse and worse by the week. And the U.S. military is very, very concerned about it, because they know that somebody is hacking their stuff. Probably a whole lot of somebodies are hacking their stuff, and they're hacking the stuff of other governments around the world. One of the most outrageous things that just came to light in the last week or two is that, according to Defense News, the F-35 jet fighter, which is the Pentagon's top air superiority fighter, it plans to rule the skies for the next several decades. This is the latest thing, and it is they admitted it's very vulnerable to hacking. They've got a major problem. They found out that the support systems for the jet enable hackers to get in and manipulate what happens with the jet. And that's the case all through the Pentagon stuff. The GAO, General Accountability Office, released a report in October saying that the U.S. government's weapons systems are just, you know, filled with loopholes that enable hackers to get in and control the weapon systems. Not that they're hacking personnel records and other minor types of data. They're hacking the weapon systems. Mm-hmm. And the Pentagon is practically helpless to do anything about it. And that's one of the main points of the article in Early Warning Report, is that as the government, well, backing up a little bit, as you know, I'm very big on the idea of ethics. I think that the decline of ethics is destroying everything around the world. Mm-hmm. Civilization is in decline because ethics is in decline. People mm-hmm. are losing the ability to tell the difference between right and wrong.
Uh-huh.
Well, governments are hiring brilliant people to be their hackers to try to defend against other governments. And these hackers learn how to use all these military programs. They learn how to write all these military programs. So you have essentially three levels of hacking in the world. There's the lower level, which is very simple. You and I could probably do it if we were just shown a few things. There's the middle grade. Those are people that are really good at it, and they can hack a whole lot of things. And then there is the top grade, which is military-grade hacking. These people are astounding geniuses, and they can hack into anything. There is no, in my opinion, there is no civilian defense against military-grade hacking, and there isn't going to be. Because what's going on is governments are hiring these geniuses to hack other governments, and these geniuses learn how to do all of this, and they stay with the government for some number of years, and then they go off on their own, freelancing. They mm-hmm. are private individuals, and they know how to do all the military hacking, how to write the military programs. And so they go off on their own, and there are probably now thousands of them from the U.S. government, the Russian government, the Chinese government. People who used to work for these governments now are out on their own, and they are doing their own hacking, using things like ransomware to make huge amounts of money off of it. And so in order to combat these guys, the government goes out, hires more geniuses, teaches them even more how to do the military hacking, and then some of them quit the government. They go out on their own. And so the thing just ratchets up constantly. The skill of the pirate hackers increases constantly because governments are increasing it. And, and the idea that some civilian organization is going to somehow find a way to protect themselves against this ratcheting of this genius hacking is ridiculous. It's like thinking that the Chicago Police Department is going to be able to defeat the 82nd Airborne. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, and if somebody has evidence that I'm wrong, I'd sure like to hear it. But in my mind, the Internet is going to be just sabotaged to death by this proliferation of hackers out there. There's no way to stop them. And, the wise person will assume the day is coming, and I think it will be years rather than decades, and it could be even just months, where there will be so many frustrating things happening on the Internet, where your ability to do whatever you do on the Internet will be disrupted so often and so seriously that people will just walk away from the Internet. They'll quit using it. And I think, that day is coming. And I don't think it'll happen this year, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it happens next year or just the year after, because it's getting worse so fast mm-hmm. because of the proliferation of these military-grade hackers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you, in fact, compared it to the golden age of piracy in your newsletter, 1650s to around mm-hmm. 1735 or so. And then you also compared it with a soldier to pirate career paths of Jesse James and others after the Civil War. And, I mean, the point is that human nature doesn't change. And now we have all this technology that makes human nature, both good and bad, even more powerful, I think. It's mm-hmm. is what I'm hearing you say. You know, yeah. Jim Rickards, go ahead. You were going to say something. Ethics. You're big on the ethics. And I might mention to our listeners, Early Warning Report, if you go there, You have a record. There's a website that I know is your website, also Ethics Solutions, which is a course you were teaching, and I never did. I'm sorry to say, never did follow up on that. But I think, and I really applaud you for your efforts there in that regard, towards trying to help people with ethics, because that's really what it boils down to if we're going to live together in harmony on this earth. Did you had a comment that I started to interfere with?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say the website for Ethics Solutions is ethicssolutions.net, and and that will explain it all to you.
Very good.
I'm kind of on a crusade here.
I know you are.
There's just no way to save our civilization without restoring ethics.
And I don't disagree, and that's one thing hardly hear about. And we need to talk to you about that more some other time. Jim Rickards said on this show that he doesn't really fear nuclear weapons, nuclear war, as much as he once did because of these cyber attack capabilities. Why to destroy the whole world when you can shut down your opponent by not allowing their airplanes to fly, or one thing, or their power grids to operate?
Yeah, right. This is a science fiction theme. Goes back a long time, many decades. Science fiction writers began to point out that human technological development was running ahead, way, way ahead of human ethical development. And now we're into the position where the technology is running even faster ahead, and the ethical development is actually going backwards. And, you know, science fiction writers have predicted, well, this is... this can't lead to anything good, and we're sure facing it right now. It's very likely that everybody listening to us has been on a computer at one time or another recently, and has had something screwy go on, can't figure out what it is. It's very likely that's somebody hacking you, or hacking somebody else that you're attached to, or something like that. And it's very likely, in fact, it's a virtual certainty, that everything you do on the internet is being monitored by somebody. They are learning about your personal life. Anything you put on the internet that is about your personal life is being stored and being sold to somebody. And one of the very worst things that's going on now is the toys that children are being given are full of computer stuff, and some of this, or none of it, practically none of it, has any kind of security at all, and it monitors what's going on in your home. Uh-huh. And there are some of them, according to an FBI report, the FBI released a warning on this, that some of these toys will broadcast to any pervert who happens to be plugged in and has the software to monitor these things.
Goodness sakes.
Which is not difficult to get. They will give the pervert all sorts of information about the child, including a photograph and the geographic location of the child.
Oh my goodness sakes. That's frightening. That's it's downright frightening if you're a parent, for sure. Richard, we're just about out of time. So much more to talk to you and to ask you about. You talked about how you see this coming. You mentioned a little bit ago in our discussion here that you thought that there would probably people would just stop using the internet. And I know that you talk through this in your newsletter, how people should adapt. Human beings are very adaptable, as you note, and how people should start to think in terms of adapting to a world that is just simply too dangerous to use the internet. And you mentioned there may be some soft internet usage. And I would just suggest, because there's just not enough time to talk about it, listeners, you need to subscribe to Richard's letter. Get this December issue. Richard, what are you charging these days for an annual subscription?
The normal price is $300, and I think we've got a promotion going on for $179, if I'm correct about that.
Oh, well, if that's so, I would just tell my listeners, there's so much more to talk to you about. You have investment ideas that you pass along, too, and I would like to talk to you about those. We're just about out of time. You did mention, I do want to ask you about velocity, monetary velocity. You talk about that. It seems to me that at least in the United States, your sense of monetary velocity is starting to speed up, which would suggest that prices could be on the rise, right?
Right. It's really hard to talk about velocity in a few minutes. But
yeah, we don't have it, but it's just suffice it to say that your measure is suggesting that money is turning over more rapidly now in the United States and that that could portend for inflation. I mean, the best thing for you folks out there is just to subscribe to Richard's letter. We are out of time, Richard. My apologies to you. So much more to talk to you about. We'll have you back again sometime very soon. Folks, that is all the time we have this week. Next week, Alistair McLeod is with me, Ivan Bebek of RN Resources, and Michael Oliver as well. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.